Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 31 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. And today's guest is Tampa left-hander Rich Hill. Now, you'll notice I'm flying solo. We were supposed to have a co-host, but at the last minute, schedules change. That's what happens. They're big leaguers, and the guys are buying in. Really, they haven't missed many turns in the rotation, which is great. They've been there for us, but on this particular day, a schedule changed right before Rich was supposed to join us. So I did a one-on-one interview, which I think you will enjoy, with the oldest pitcher in baseball. Rich Hill, it is good to see you. Can you hear me, old man? Is everything working?
Yeah, I know. Exactly, yeah. I mid-2000s, early-2000s headset in, so yeah, we're good.
All right. Can you believe this? Year 17, and you are still getting it done and having a fantastic month of May. It's like you're 26 again, dude.
Yeah, yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. The Tampa Bay Rays organization has been great, and, you know, that was from the outset of where we were trying to pick a place to go play was a winner and a contender. And certainly, you know, talking with Eric Neander and the front office and Kevin Cash and everybody throughout the Tampa Bay Rays organization, that was their mindset going into spring training and their predictions, you know, for the season, what they had told me prior to signing, you know, didn't seem lofty at all to me. I mean, but you know, when you look at the team and you look at the parts and how everybody works together, it's been great.
Okay. But when you got to spring training and there are guys who maybe knew your name, but didn't know who you were or your story, and you told them, yeah, I'm 41 years old. Were there guys that were like, that's my dad's age?
Yeah. I mean, there's some guys that, I'm definitely thinking about it too, because they're coming up to the, you know, 21, 22 years old, 20. so it's been fun. Some of the guys, Joey Wendell, likes to have a little fun with me and get on the age thing. So I enjoy it. I you know, take it all in and have a lot of fun with it. It's been a blast.
Why are you still pitching?
Well, I love to do it. I don't think there's any other reason. I mean, besides winning World Series, but I think even if that box was checked, you know, a few years ago when we were in LA, I think I'd still be doing it. I love it. I have a passion for it. I enjoy doing, you know, the creative process of pitching, the artistic form of pitching, the kind of different types of paintbrushes you can go out there with every day and see how creative you can be out on the mound. And that's something that I love.
Well, you know, it's amazing because people have watched you over the years and they know you're this intellectual guy from the Boston area and Michigan educated and all that sort of stuff. And one thing that's gotten great in baseball television coverage is the audio on the field. And all of a sudden, a few years ago, we hear Rich Hill screaming at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, Rich. Yes. And all of a sudden, I was like, I think that's who he is. So I had to do a little investigative work. They're like, yeah, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Has that always been a thing for you?
I like the intensity, I guess, if you want to call it, of just getting comfortable in a place to be yourself and go out there is I, you know, you hear guys say it is like, wow, I really only feel myself when I'm out on the mound or, you know, at the ballpark, I guess. But I feel that I am myself wherever I go outside of the field. But when I go in between the lines, then that is, I call it like a light switch mentality. You know, you turn it on, you turn that intensity on, you turn that aggressiveness on. And, you know, that part of executing a pitch or not executing a pitch it usually happens more when I don't execute a pitch. And it just the perfection kind of attitude comes out and the frustration. And then it's just like, you know, fuck it. Here it is. This is who I am. You know? And I'm okay with it. I'm not, you know, that's, you know, and the other thing is I tell guys this too all the time. I'm like, you know, especially in the last couple of years with Minnesota or here with Tampa and some guys with LA younger guys, you know, what will other people think and what will other people say are the 10 most, you know, deadly words that you can put in your vocabulary. Because when you go out there to go pitch and you go out there to perform, if you're thinking about anything else except for that pitch and the execution in that moment, then you're screwed. So I think it's valuable information. Trying to pass it along as much as I can and give guys the freedom to be themselves, you know, and as long as it's, you know, within a kind of intensity that is for good of getting the outcome that you want for the team. And then I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think anything goes. Dude, that's your job. You're entitled to say whatever you want. I am always curious because I'm a father of two boys. You've got a son.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's younger than mine. How do you balance that? Because I'm sure he's heard stuff. Like, do you have to go, now it's okay when daddy says that between the lines, but let's clean it up when we're inside the four walls of home.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do. Well, I think one of the things is that him understanding that it is the job and it's a little bit, I think it would be a little bit harder describing it if it wasn't at the highest level.
Right.
And the stakes are so high. Now there might be somebody that says, you know, hey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go out there and, you know, yell or say certain things or whatever, or swear or whatever. But I mean, that's your opinion and that's up to you to, and I respect that, and that's fine. But through the kind of caves that I've been through and the ups and the downs in this game to get to the other side a lot of times and continue to keep going, I'm going to be who I am when I go out there to pitch. And, you know, it took me a long time to find that out. It took me a long time to understand that, you know, not only – the business side of it is that you're gone tomorrow. I mean, at a younger age, when you come up and you're like, oh no, I'm going to be a Cub forever. I'm going to be a Chicago Cub forever. But you know, the reality of it is that the business side of it is that it's a great game. It's a very, I don't want to say it's a bad business, but it's a tough business. Sure. And just like anything else. Right. So it's just like, once you realize it's okay, I'm going to go out there and perform for, to the best of my abilities and do what I need to do to put our team in the best position to win. And, you know, however that might come out, whatever alter ego that might be when that shows up on the field, that's who that is. And then when I'm off of the field, this is who I am. I'm not, you know, and it really is. It's, I call it like I said, that the light switch mentality where you're between giving somebody a handshake and fighting him. So it's really, to be able to turn it on and have the ability to do that brings out the best competitor in me.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that, you know, passing that along to my son and having him understand that, not looking outside. We have his little league field is actually across the street. So it's not looking outside and then seeing him drop an F-bomb and be like, oh God.
just wait till that one morning. And he looks in the cupboard and he's like, where's a fucking cereal? God, I mean, seriously, just wait for that because it's coming. I'm just telling you, man, it's coming. And you're going to laugh. You're not going to help but laugh. And you're going to love it, too.
A quick story. We were living in South Boston. And if for people who aren't familiar with South Boston, it's pretty tight. Everything's, you know, cars are parked, you know, bumper to bumper. And the place where we were living, we had a little parking spot, size of the car, just fit right in. And if the person who was parking, if their bumper was hanging over the front of the driveway a little bit, it was really difficult to get in. So My wife is in the passenger seat, Caitlin, and our son Bryce is in the back seat. And I'm pulling up and I go, this fucking guy. And I hear from the back seat. And he goes, who's fucking guy? And we're biting our cheeks. Like, just, you know, we're like, no. He made something up and was like, it was so funny.
Get away, my man. Check that one off. That's good.
Yeah.
So, your teammate, Tyler Glasnow, is one of the co-hosts of the Chris Rose Rotation. We had his mom on because, Tyler likes to be verbose on the mound with some interesting vocabulary. Mm. And after a while, she was like, you got to stop it or cover your mouth or do something.
Yeah.
So somebody wanted me to ask you if we have a swear off on the mound between Glasnow, Rich Hill, and Walker Buehler.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Wow. That would be pay-per-view TV, right? I don't know. I Walker's got some good ones. I lean towards Walker. It's pretty even ground, I think, all the way through. Sometimes you never know what's going to come out, but a lot of the a lot of it deals with the F bomb. So that's kind of, how you articulate that and what kind of sentences you put that. It's usually directed towards ourselves too. So
that's good. How often do fans yell from the stands, "Hey, Dick Mountain"?
Dick Mountain. Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah,
a ton?
I get that. Yeah, I do. I get that a lot. That's something that when Players Weekend came around, we were talking about it and just decided to go with that on the back of the jersey. So I'm glad it's gone over well and people have taken that. It's like a little cult following. So
is your wife like, oh my God, or is she like, that away, baby?
Yeah, no, I think it's probably somewhere in the middle there. I think it's all good. And I think the other side of it is just trying to have fun with exactly. Everything. I mean, and that's the whole, I think that's where, to go back to when I came up, it was like, you have to wear certain clothes to the field. You have to be in a certain spot. You have to do this, and I love kind of personalities that we're seeing of all the players come out. And I think that get excited about coming to the field and saying like, well, I hope so-and-so, punches somebody out. Maybe he does the whatever it is, or, a home run and a bat flip that would indicate maybe not a walk-off homer. a good bat flip. I'm for a good bat flip. Or some great plays where the guy gets up and it just shows their personality. Whereas before it was just so sterile, right. And I think that's something that we're seeing more and more come out of the game. And I think it's great. And I love where it's going. I mean,
I love
like
it
I
too.
Said, yeah. And the younger guys are, their personalities coming out and it's all trying to get that cohesiveness and connection with the fan too. So
absolutely. So you mentioned when you came up with the Cubs, 2005, people probably haven't checked that roster. Greg Maddux was there. Terry Wood was there. Yeah. Nomar Garciaparra was there.
Yeah.
Like the first time you walked into the Cubs clubhouse as a major leaguer, were you like, holy shit.
Yeah, I was crazy. I was like, I don't know what to do. I came in with like my Michigan duffel bag, like I had no idea. Like in the old at Wrigley, the old you literally open a door from the concourse and go down and you were in the clubhouse. Like
right.
I don't know how many people knew that as fans. Like you could like just open the door and you could be in the Cubs home side clubhouse. But I found that to be a lot of like that was really cool when I look back on it now, because I know now they have a beautiful brand new clubhouse, same, for the most part, same confines of Wrigley, but walking down, I remember walking down, the media was there. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. So it was right before batting practice, which I had no idea at the time. I was like, I don't even know what the hell's going on. This is just like, this is like, I'm still like, you know, getting Mike Quadi, who was our manager in AAA, told me that I was going up to Chicago being called up. And I was just like, you can't hear anything. You're disoriented. You don't know where you are. You're like, this is really happening. and that's how I felt. And walking in and then talking, trying to find out who the clubhouse guy is. Where's Otis? I can't find Otis. And people are probably, I can't remember. I think they were pretty decent. Nobody was like telling me he's, out in the back by the left field warning track or something. Have me go on an excursion to find him. But it was to walk in that clubhouse. There was a lot of gravity in that clubhouse. It was very, very palpable. So it's something that I was, trying to just take it all in and enjoy it.
Well, do you remember your first conversation with Maddox or Wood? Something stick?
I mean, I think one of the things that, especially in that, 2005 year, or, getting called up in that time period, I guess, is, kind of minding, doing the right thing, being in the right place, making sure that you're not, late, or not saying that that is acceptable still, but you know what I mean? Like being in the right place, doing it was very sequential, and I didn't want to be, screw up in any way or anything like that. So, the conversations with, Glendon Rush, Greg Maddox, LaTroy Hawkins, Kerry Wood, Michael Barrett, Bob Howry. I don't know if you remember him, Bob Howry.
Sure do, of course.
He was. Scott Ayer. When you think about it, it was just a really good team. But the conversations with if I go to Maddox first, was just really simplifying everything. One of the conversations was knowing what you want to do before you get to the ballpark the night before. So don't come to the field not knowing what you have to do for workouts or throwing or any shoulder program or anything like that, but make sure you know what you have to do before you get there. And I thought it was so simple, but I've carried it throughout my career, and it's something that, I try to pass on to guys now, because I see how valuable that little piece of information was. Mm-hmm. And understanding that when you get to the ballpark, and I've noticed this. So playing with Dustin Pedroia or David Ortiz or Derek Jeter, and watching the way that these guys go about their business, they know exactly what they have to do when they get to the ballpark. And that's, Clayton Kershaw, Justin Turner, all these guys, they know exactly what they're going to do when they get there. So my point being is that it just keeps things a lot simpler, and you're not running around, especially when you're younger, because, the guys haven't had to deal with it in the last couple of years, but with the media, and that can be a big pull on the players. And you can, next thing you know, you do a 20 minute spot, or you do a 30 minute interview or something like that, and you walk back into the clubhouse and you're like, where is everybody? Oh, they're out stretching for batting practice. And you're like, oh shit, I completely forgot that I had to stretch from the training room or get heat or do something. So the priorities, just make sure you know what your priorities are. Some of the other little things that were great were just, knowing the base runners and who is on base. I mean, obviously he won 16 gold gloves, I believe. He would say that if the runner is, if it's a fast runner, and you get a bunt back to you and you take two steps onto the grass, He in his mind, he was saying, if I take two steps, I can get the guy at second. Now, if I take three steps into the grass off of the mound, I can't get him, and I have to go first.
Great. I mean, that's just a little brief overview of how detailed
I think he was. Man. But yeah. And you know, the other guys, like just Kerry Wood, Ryan Dempster, Glendon Rush, you know, those guys really were extremely kind to me as a young guy, because you know, I think they could tell I had no idea what the hell I was doing. So yeah.
By the way, Maddox was one of the all-time pranksters. I mean, people.
Yeah.
And I know. And dirt dogs.
Yeah.
He's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like he does.
Yeah. He. There were a few.
would he put any boogers on you?
I did. I got the occasional booger.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of wow.
Pretty cool. Greg Maddox's booger made it on me. I mean, that thing's going to Cooperstown. So I'm good.
Oh, man. Yeah. But one of the other things, though, too, is just watching the game with him. You know, he would always say that, just watch the game. And you're going to learn so much by just observing, you know, why is the pitcher throwing this pitch in this situation, or watching the base runner who is, you know, going from first to third, where do you need to be when a guy hits a ball into short right and, you know, runner A is on first, whoever, but if he's fast, then, you know, you got to get back to back up third quick, because, you know, the throw is going to come and he's going to try to take that extra base. So if you don't get back there and the throw is off, he could end up at home.
Right.
You know, it's just the minute details that,
and he paid attention to everything, man.
Everything.
One thing that got past him. That's That's why he did what he did.
We'll be right back to this episode of the Chris Rose Rotation. But first, a quick word from DraftKings. The DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my personal favorite sportsbook, but it's also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using the DraftKings Sportsbook, their website, their app. It's all really easy to navigate, plenty of instructions for new bettors, nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. And they've got another crazy offer out here for you. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right, pick any basketball team that is still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, every sport you can think of, really, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code ROSE when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code ROSE for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, wager paid out in site credits, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Let's get back to the rotation.
So you say you want to work in the baseball world and don't know how to get involved. That's where our friends at Sports Management Worldwide are here to help. They offer an 8-week course in several different areas, like baseball player development course. That's with a former baseball GM, Dan Duquette. Say you want to become a sports agent. Oscar Suarez, who is a longtime agent, is there to teach you a course. We've got a baseball GM and scouting course with former Dodgers GM, Dan Evans, and a 40-year baseball scout, Hank Jones. And then there's also a baseball analytics course with Ari Kaplan, who's one of the gurus of analytics. In fact, that course was so good that current Royals manager Mike Matheny actually took it. So they'll teach you how to get a job, who to know, and how to help. And it's not just baseball. They can help you out with football, rugby, cricket, hockey, sports broadcasting. Maybe that's a course that I should take. Esports, sports gambling as well. So once again, they are here to help. You can apply for free at smww.com. Use the discount code JOMBOY for $50 off of the course that you choose. So go out and do something today. You want to be involved? They are here to help. Once again, it is smww.com. $50 off the course that you choose with the code word JOMBOY. One of the games you pitched in, excuse me, during your Cubs tenure, people don't remember. I certainly didn't. So I went back and looked at it.
Yeah, I don't remember now.
Yes, you do. I do. Michael Barrett, AJ Pierzynski play.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You were on the mound. Do you have, what do you recall from this?
Just going and getting the ball afterwards, and the entire White Sox bench was coming towards. I had turned to get the ball, and I got the ball, and I'm facing their dugout, and their whole dugout's coming at me, and I'm like, what did I do? And then I turned around and saw that you know, it was a big melee going on. So actually, I think AJ pulled me out of that, I think, or whatever. I don't know what I was doing. It was the first time I had been in any kind of bench clearing, you know, involvement like that. So I was trying to figure out, break up, pull guys off. And it was, so that was a big deal. That was a big deal. I do remember that.
That was insane though. It was, you had two passionate fan bases, city that was split, and you never see a guy get sucker punched like that ever.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, obviously Michael to this day is one of the best catchers that I've thrown to. He took me, you know, under, we would go and get breakfast, under his wing. We would go and get breakfast during spring training and talk about just anything really. But then we would get back to pitching and talk about, you know, what would make myself and him, you know, work really well together. So, when I think back to it, crazy moment.
Good one. Last year, I remember watching a Twins game during the pandemic.
Yeah.
He had a rookie, Edward Kalina, who did not have a good major league debut. And he came in.
Yeah.
And you went and you sat right next to him when he got off the field. What were you telling him?
When I see a guy who goes out there and doesn't have a good outing, and I know that it is one of their, you know, first outings, or they're a younger guy and they're still, you know, learning and understanding that the process of, hey, me going over to him and talking to him is like, I said, this is not going to be your last outing in the big leagues. You know, I want you to know that, you know, you go out there and throw the ball with conviction. And again, it's stuff that I've learned through my career, because I've gone through pretty crappy outings when I was younger and, you know, wore on my, you know, like a metal jacket when I would leave the ballpark, as opposed to, you know, now knowing that you've done everything that you can to have the outcome be in the best possible favor for you and your team, that you can leave. And no matter what the outcome was, you don't have to wear that jacket. And there's a lot of freedom in that. But talking with him, I just wanted to let him know that, you know, you're not alone. Like, you're not going to be sitting there. You feel like you are, you're on your island. You just had a bad inning, right? And everything is crashing down or whatever. And I could kind of see it. You can see it on guys' faces. And I don't enjoy that whatsoever. I don't like, you know, I understand this is a league of, you know, sink or swim, but it's not a league of, you know, empathy either, or understanding where, you know, we have all kind of come from or difficult times that we've gone through. So that was really what I wanted to to pass on him was that, you know, talking about his breaking ball, I think he was, I recall the game very vividly because I think he was spinning some breaking balls. He wasn't finishing them, and his fastball, you know, he was a little bit tentative on throwing it. I was telling him, I don't care. I think I said, I don't care if you throw the ball off the press box, but if you go with, you know, that high level of intensity and your best effort, you're going to fail your way to success. If that makes sense.
I like that.
So it's, you know, and the other thing is I'd like, for me, in going back to, I remember in 2017 before the World Series, obviously the most substantial, biggest game that I had ever pitched in my career up to that point. And I told myself, I was like, I would rather, you know, be with the effort going out there with the, my best effort and going out there with the highest level of intensity and failing than not doing that and regretting it. So that's, you know, what I try to pass that along to everybody, even the younger guys that we have here. I mean, if it is I've had really good examples throughout my career. And one that comes to mind is Chase Utley. He went for it every time, and his ability to go out there and his intensity and play at the highest level for as many years as he did is something that, you know, I took a little piece of that and, you know, from a lot of other guys. So it's just, that's the way, you know, I know how to play the game, and it took me a while to figure out how to play the game that way. And I want guys to, if I can cut certain, you know, time off from banging your head against the wall, and the other side of it too, is that going through the experiences in the game and in life period, we have to go through them sometimes to learn. People will tell us, but you know, until we go through it, then we'll be like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, Greg Maddux telling me about that. I should have listened a little more, or somebody,
we all have those moments. We all have those. So
yeah,
a couple more minutes here with Rich Hill. Are you still pissed at the Astros?
I've had some good conversation. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the level of, I think it's, you know, what from taking signs, which obviously is still going on from second base, to relaying them to the hitter is been going on for forever in baseball. And I'm okay with that because that's, you know, that's on me as a pitcher and the catcher to change our signs up and to continue that, excuse me, that cat and mouse game of being able to keep the hitter guessing or the runner on second base guessing what pitch is coming when it's in real time. And, you know, you're relaying the sign or the pitch that's coming. I mean, it makes it, for me, it's a different level. So, you know, I think that team in 2017 that we had was, you know, it was just a tremendous team. You can't say it was, you know, it was, I feel that we were the best team in baseball. We had an unbelievable bullpen. Starting rotation was great. And obviously our lineup was great too. So, and the way the guys came together that year, it was something that, you know, I'll never forget that team. So, and then you can't, for me, it's like, you know, well, that was, I feel like that was the best team I ever played on, but then I, you know, every year is different. You know, and, but yeah, so I still feel that it was a different level of what was going on throughout, you know, the league, and still is. I mean, I have no problem with guys relaying signs, like even location.
No, but I can tell you, you're up, like, I imagine that at 41 years old and having watched your old team just win it all, even though it was a pandemic shortened season, like, you have fought through so much in your life and in your career that I would have a hard time waking up and not being a little pissed every day.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I would love to have a World Series ring. And, you know, like I said, I love pitching. And as you know, family, you know, kids get older and you know, I'm fortunate that I'm playing at 41. Do I feel that I'm throwing the ball well enough to continue to keep going? Yes. Does that mean I'm necessarily going to do that? Not necessarily, because, you know, I've seen my family now twice in 2 months. And, you know, it's not, I know everybody, you know, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that go on with everybody. But at the same point is that, you know, having that maybe box checked, I'm wondering if, you know, I love pitching. I love it. I love the,
it would have made it easier to walk away, dude. I mean, listen, I can tell you, I've got one that's 20 and 15.
Yeah.
And it, like, I cry. Like when my 20-year-old, he's not here, we're very close.
Yeah.
I know it's part of growing up. I'm like, I can't get those years back. I was shuttling through my pictures last night on my phone. And I kept sending to my wife. She's like, stop doing that, because you're going to make me cry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how I, you know, missing games now and, you know, he's nine. So our son Bryce is nine. So, you know, Little League is kicking in, and for me, I'm realizing what I am missing. And obviously, you know, the time that we're not able to get back. And that is, people have said it before, and I love using this too. It's our most valuable commodity, because you can't buy it, you can't get more of it back, and you have to use it wisely. So, and time with my wife, Caitlin, you know, we FaceTime and talk on the phone, but it's not the same as being present. So
by the way, that one actually might be okay. I just want to tell you, for somebody who's been married almost 24 years, that's okay. A little distance isn't bad. Like the FaceTime thing
that's
cool.
Secret.
Like my wife is like, will you please get an additional job? Like, you used to travel. Now you're here all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of something in between. Yeah.
Like, take a job with Nickelodeon that shoots in Atlanta for a week or something. Like, yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. I'm sure you saw your old teammate, Willens Astudillo's 47 mile an hour hump ball. As a guy who has specialized in the curve, what's your assessment here, pitching coach?
I love the Tortuga. He is one of my all time favorite teammates. I loved throwing to him. He caught a few games for me last year, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was so much fun. I don't know how to describe it. It's like when you're out there with, like, you know, one of your buddies that you grew up with, and that's who was catching you. That's how I felt.
But what'd you think of his curveball? Or
I loved it.
Or
I loved
gravity
it.
Ball or no, whatever the I heck
love,
we're calling
I,
that
oh,
thing.
I love it. I love it. You know, he and I you know, to know him and how fun loving he is in the clubhouse, and I love that the 47, 46 mile an hour. I mean, to me, gives me something to strive for. So I would love to lob one up there and see what would happen. But I tried that against Cooper in Miami and he hit it out. So it wasn't slow enough.
Hey, by the way, I think you can get an extra base hit. I think you can go gap against him on that ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I tell guys that I can hit. I keep pulling at our hitting coaches uni and saying, like, hey, today's the day. I mean, if you need me late, I'm good. I'm like, you know, 2 for 4. I know it's whoever's in there throwing 100, and I'm like, I'll take one off the neck. I've done that.
Yeah, no, you have. And by the way, I was at the July 4th game in 2018 against the Pirates, where I thought you were going to, like, blow out your shoulder on a head first slide at home. Rich,
yeah,
you got to be smarter than that, man. I know it's all about winning for you, but come on, dude. Let's save it.
That was, Yeah, I know. Yeah, I do need to save some of it. You're right. That is, that's some of the old, yeah, yeah. I love it though. I love being able to, I going back to Maddox, it was like, hey, you feel like a ball player. You like, you get to pitch, you get a hit, you get on base, you know, you get to run the bases. Like it's awesome.
That's good. All right. We do a fun little thing here on the Chris Rose rotation. We spin the wheel of moderately interesting things. So,
all right.
I know as a Michigan guy, you could probably appreciate the name. Most guys are like, what? I'm like, yeah. There we go. Doggy style.
Oh, God.
Come on, man. Get your head out of the gutter there, 41-year-old.
Oh,
holy smoke. This is actually, that's right around the age where it just all goes to shit, where everything you're thinking about is just nasty. What's your favorite breed of dog?
We have a Pomeranian Shih Tzu currently. Nice. And I don't mean, I hope he's not listening. I don't mean currently, like as he's getting older. And anyway, he's
getting DFA'd? What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. We're, sorry, Pooch. We're calling up the Labrador and, yeah, he's great. Favorite kind of dog. I mean, currently he's been unbelievable. I grew up, I had a Irish setter, Irish red setter. Very, very kind until I think he started developing some kind of dementia or something. I don't know. He started getting angry and he was and then we had to, you know, we had to, and then we had a West Highland White Terrier growing up and he was great, ton of energy. Wish my parents got him fixed. Now I know why.
That's good.
So, but I love golden retrievers. Those are beautiful, beautiful dogs. How about you?
We have a Shih Tzu Terrier that we rescued. In 2013. That is my daughter. I've got two sons. She is that's my girl. I love her to death.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. She knows exactly where to come. Like mom's a disciplinarian. Dad is the sap and the sucker.
Oh,
she
yeah.
knows where to get,
yeah.
Like if she's hungry.
Treat like, city.
Okay. Here's some turkey bacon.
You're like, give.
Yeah. But I had an English Springer Spaniel that was the sweetest dog named Tiffany when I was growing up. And my mom was a dog lover. Oh,
yeah.
She used to drive around and keep a leash in her glove compartment in case she saw a stray dog. She'd pick it up, scoop it up, make sure it had a tag, deliver it wherever. She was the neighborhood dog watcher.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Jackie Rose, she was a good one. No question.
Love that.
No question. Yeah. Hey, listen, man, this was fun. I appreciate you hanging out and giving us some time, particularly since you flew home to visit your family. I didn't even know. I would not have asked you to do this. I thought you were hanging out in Tampa and going to the beach on a day off.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you, Chris. I always enjoy talking with you and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So we will see everybody next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.